Anyway, kind of surprised at this one, 13-0 Wall at halftime.
I think the main surprise probably is Wall's defense playing great. I mean, they had some struggles in their last two games, but I also thought they matched up well with Manasquan because Wall's strength is its secondary. And as we've seen, they played really well. Russo with a couple pass breakups, Baum and Blitt with some nice plays. So I think they've done a good job. I'm not surprised that they've been able to move the ball. I mean, with that offensive line, they can blow people off the ball. Steve Cooley, some nice plays on third down. You know, their one problem, and I'm talking to Steve Cooley about it leading into this game, is they weren't finishing drives in their other game. It killed them against Steinert. And I think having to settle for field goals can be a little scary against Manasquan because with Sato, they can get the end zone in a hurry. So you kind of, especially when they had first and goal on the two there, you want to punch that in for six. That would be the only thing that I would be concerned about, is you got to start finishing these drives and getting the ball in the end zone.
Kind of very similar, game that we saw last week against Mattawan, in which they fell behind 17-0, didn't really rally until the fourth quarter there.
Yeah, that's the thing. Manasquan's a very scary second-half team. You want to get as many points as you can to build a cushion because you know they're going to come back. They never give up. They always play really hard. And the thing is, they can move the chains quickly because they throw the ball so well. So I think another big thing for Wall is you got to get consistent pressure on Tyler Sato in the second half. You can't give him time to throw, or Manasquan could be right back in this game in an instant.
You know, I asked Chris Barnes before he went into the locker room, I said, putting the ball in Steve Cluley's hands quite a bit today, both in the air and on the ground. He said, wouldn't you? And I said, yeah, good answer.
Yeah, he was just voted the offensive player of the year in Class C Central by the coaches. So you'll see, you know, how highly he's thought of by the rest of the people in C Central. And yeah, he's a senior. He's a three-year starter. This is a game, you know, he wants to go out on top and make all the plays. So you couldn't really go wrong letting him run the ball and throw it. Obviously, we know he can throw, but I think running, he's done some good damage today as well.
Yeah, you know, Matt, mentioned in the first half that he doesn't have really the throwing numbers that maybe we expected him to have. I think Jim Giuliano has had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I think that's a product, really, of the offense and the play calling. I mean, they're fairly conservative a lot of times. They like to pound teams with the run game and use that offensive line. So you're right, Jim Giuliano has a lot of the touchdowns and the yards, but Steve Cooley's such a weapon on third down with his ability to throw the ball that he makes them dangerous. And, you know, I mean, he just got offered by New Hampshire to add to his offers from Albany and Monmouth. So I think, you know, with a program like New Hampshire offering you, that's pretty, that means coaches think pretty highly of you. We'll see if that opens the floodgates for more offers for Cooley.
Another interesting one right up around the corner here. Neptune Asbury all tied up at 22 now.
Yeah, Asbury's sophomore quarterback Robert Barksdale running in from just over 20 yards. Asbury gets the two-point conversion. It's 22 all with 10 minutes left in the third quarter. I mean, between a game between two teams that could be state champions in a week. So Neptune came flying out of the gate and was up 22-7 in that game in the first quarter. But Asbury's fought their way back into it. Barksdale overcame some early struggles. He threw a pick six and a couple other interceptions, but then he came back and threw a touchdown pass to Taj Hamry and now runs one in. So nice poise from a sophomore playing in a game of this magnitude to kind of pull it back together and get Asbury right back in the game.
You know, we said way back 3 or 4 weeks ago, the best team not to make the playoffs, probably the Cougars of Colts Neck, certainly proving that today.
Yeah, up 27-7 on Howell. And the way Howell's struggled to stop the run game this year, you got to figure Victor Scalici's having a big game for Colts Neck, and they're just moving the ball up and down the field on the ground. And that team brings back a good amount of players. I mean, they do lose their quarterback, Dylan Cottrell, who's very good, and Scalici, but they have some other quality backs, younger guys, some good linemen coming back, some good wide receivers, including Tim Vangelis. So I think Colts Neck's a team to definitely keep an eye on going into 2012.
And I hate to do it, but we got to mention the Barnegat score. It's just an unfortunate, you know, season for Pinelands Region.
Yeah, Barnegat is up 63-0 on Pinelands in the fourth quarter with the JVs in. I mean, a backup just ran for a touchdown. Pinelands has surrendered over 500 points this year. That's 50-plus a game. So you can only go one way from here if you're the Wildcats, who will bring back most of their team. For Barnegat, it's a happy day. They get their seventh win, which is a school record. They also clinched the outright Class B South title, their first division title in their six-year history. So it's kind of weird, though. You know, you're a senior for Barnegat. You want to really live it up in this final game, and they had to take them all out of the game because they're up by so many points. You know, you kind of have to call the dogs off.
Well, we've got probably about 6,000, maybe 7,000 people here today. We may not have as many tomorrow night at RBC, but I think we're going to have a pretty good crowd. Let's talk a little bit about that one.
Yeah, in our top 10, that's number one versus number two. I mean, so many things going on. Obviously, you know, RBC can get a school record 10th win, and they have not lost to Rumson since 2002, so they're trying to maintain their edge there. Shane Fallon, the Rumson coach, can get his 100th career victory with a win. Rumson can improve to a school record 11-0, and essentially this is the battle for the final number one ranking. If RBC wins this, I think they're the undisputed number one team, regardless of what happens in the state finals. RBC will be without John DiStefano, their 1,500-yard rusher who was injured last week against Del Barton, so that kind of makes it a little bit more interesting. Rumson could possibly be without Connor Riley, their starting tailback, who's also banged up, so there may be some key players out of this game, but you'll see these teams going at it, and two of the best lines on both sides of the ball in the Shore Conference, and two players, RBC defensive tackle Joe Cascarelli and, you know, Rumson defensive tackle Jack Eisenstadt, both right in the running for defensive player of the year in the Shore Conference. So, I mean, a tremendous amount of talent, a lot of awards and records and bragging rights and rankings all decided tomorrow night.
I'm glad they're playing it on a Friday night, which allows all of us to see it, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, we're bringing two writers. Bob Batters and I will both be at the game because it's that big of a game. I think it's a real treat for all the Shore Conference football fans to take a trip to Count Basie Field.
Okay, I didn't have time to ask you last night when you were on with us, but Rumson wins tomorrow and then loses in the finals and Neptune wins. Who's number one in the Shore?
Bob Batters and I were talking about this headache earlier. We were saying Manalapan. Just have Manalapan go beat Sayreville, and I think maybe they make a case for number one. Right, if that kind of scenario. Or what happens if Neptune loses to Asbury today and wins a state title? I mean, you could have so many crazy scenarios going on that you're right. If Rumson wins and then loses to Mattawan, that kind of opens the floodgates to a real, you know, splitting hairs for that number one team. It may literally be in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, it might come down to who one wins more convincingly or whatever. But okay, let's go out on the limb now. Five Shore Conference teams playing for four championships. Do we sweep Central Jersey?
I hate to be a Manalapan hater, but Sayreville's awfully tough. I say we get Central 3. Neptune will beat Steinert. Obviously, we'll get a winner out of Central 2 in the Rumson-Mattawan game. I do think it will be Rumson again. And then Asbury Park, I think, will be fine against Florence in Central Jersey Group 1. So I think I'm going to pick Sayreville. I'm going to root for Manalapan, but Sayreville's just been really tough. They've had the Shore Conference number, and DeLon Stevenson is just a tremendous player.
Yeah, not as good a team as they have been in the last few years when they battled the Brick Memorial a few times, but you are right, DeLon Stevenson, probably one of the top players in the state at the running back position and on his way to Rutgers, right?
Yeah, he's the Rutgers where his brother is already a freshman defensive tackle, was part of that tremendous defensive line that Sayreville had last year, and that's one area where I think Manalapan has a shot. Because Sayreville doesn't have that incredible defensive line, they should be able to hopefully run the ball with John Sikowski. But like anything, I think Mike Isabella, their junior quarterback, made some really big plays for them in crunch time this season. I think they're going to need him to connect with Anthony Furkser in some big spots to move the chains and then find a way to slow Stevenson down on defense.
Well, the two teams that really under the radar all year, Manalapan and Mattawan, find themselves on the verge of possible state champions.
Absolutely. I think Mattawan at one point had a complete crossroads, 2-2. Their senior running back, Cassius Williams, had just torn his ACL and was out for the season. You really wondered where their season was headed, but it's a nice luxury to have Larry Alton III to plug in there and transform that team. They became a downhill power running team with him. They have one of the most underrated defenses, I feel, in the Shore Conference. I know we talk a lot about, you know, Rumson and RBC and then Austin on offense, but Mattawan's defense is very fast and very good. The real question now, though, is Mattawan with five players suspended for violating school policy, including three starters. I know a couple of them are key defensive players. They're going to play St. John Vianney on Saturday and the passing attack of Anthony Carlucci, and they could get caught in that game without some of these players. And these players, from what I'm hearing, almost certainly will miss the state finals as well, of the penalty for what, you know, the infraction they committed. So I think that really hurts Mattawan in that final. We'll see if they can overcome that.
Well, that will become a bigger story, obviously, next week after that St. John Vianney game. But I was going to ask you about that and if it will carry over, and that decision probably will have some board involvement, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a key board meeting actually on Monday to decide a lot of the fate of this, and also some of their coaches, I believe, have been called on the carpet related to this as well. It's not a good situation over there right now. I think that from what everything I'm hearing, it's a 10 to 15 day suspension for what these players did, and it's school days, so today and tomorrow don't count towards it. And even if it's a 10 day penalty, you're out next Saturday. I think that really hurts the Huskies, and you just wish that they'd use some better judgment, especially this late in the season with these huge games coming up. And it's an unfortunate situation. We'll see if they can deal with it and give Rumson a game.
Well, Scott, it's always a pleasure to talk to you on the sidelines. I'll see you tomorrow night, where you will be in the working capacity and I will be in the watching capacity.
Yeah, you're a man of leisure. I know that. Between taking trips to Florida every other week, hanging out at spring training, sitting on the beach, you live a hard life.
Now, let's not give our listeners the bad picture of me. Scott Stumpf from the Offshore Media and our Sure Sports Network. Let's take a 2-minute timeout. Or let's make it 3 minutes, Matt, as both teams are slowly making their way to the field. You are listening to the Manasquan Wall Game on the Sure Sports Network.
Gateway Toyota Scion is proud to be a part of the Jersey Shore community and a sponsor of tonight's high school sports coverage. Gateway's community involvement includes such programs as Ocean County VestaCop, Lacey Rescue Squad, sponsorship of the local Little League, high school athletic departments, high school booster clubs, and much more. Once again, good luck to all the high school athletes from Gateway Toyota Scion. Gateway Toyota Scion, Route 37 in Toms River. As they say, we love to help. Are you looking for Ocean County's one-stop outdoor resource? Look no further than the Jersey Paddler in Brick. All your favorite gear, hiking boots, dry suits, outdoor clothing, camping equipment, and more from the biggest names in the business. You still have plenty of time to enjoy the outdoors, and the Jersey Paddler in Brick is stocked with everything you need for the outdoor adventure of a lifetime. Visit the Jersey Paddler at the intersection of Route 88 and Route 70 in Brick, and online at jerseypaddler.com. The Jersey Paddler, everything connected with the outdoors.
This is Barry Cottrell, General Manager at DCH Frio Nissan on Route 9, and proud to sponsor this Jersey Shore High School football pregame show. We're rooting for your team to win and inviting you to team up with us for a great deal on your next new car. DCH Frio Nissan is the home of the original Ultimate Deal, but you'll get ultimate deals on all of our new and pre-owned cars. Come in for a test drive tomorrow and drive your new car home tomorrow night. Visit DCHFrioNissan.com or on Route 9, we're just north of the Freehold Raceway Mall. DCH Frio Old Nissan.
Football season is in full swing at Baker's Water Street Grill, and now that there's a chill in the air, it's time to come in, sit by the fire, and enjoy Tom's River's favorite hometown sports bar. With 21 HD TVs, there's not a bad seat in the house, and Baker's Water Street Grill is the place to be for all the action. There are drink and appetizer specials during all NFL games and weekly giveaways, plus there's Wi-Fi access for all you fantasy football fans. No need to wait for game day. Join them any day of the week for lunch, dinner, and the area's best happy hour. Baker's Water Street Grill, located on the water in downtown Toms River.
Community, Kimball, and Monmouth Medical Centers are proud to support Jersey Shore High School sports. We know you play hard, but please, play safe. And if an injury does occur, know that our orthopedic sports medicine specialists are experts in the very latest minimally invasive techniques. To learn more about the great orthopedic care at Community, Kimball, and Monmouth Medical Centers, visit barnabashealth.org. or call 888-724-7123.
Gateway Toyota Scion is proud to be a part of the Jersey Shore community and a sponsor of tonight's high school sports coverage. Gateway's community involvement includes such programs as Ocean County VestaCop, Lacey Rescue Squad, sponsorship of the local Little League, high school athletic departments, high school booster clubs, and much more. Once again,